Daily news, breaking updates, and exclusive podcasts. iTricks.com.
Hello and welcome to the Magic Week in Review, bringing you news, rumor, and culture reports from the front lines of the magic industry. My name is Justin Robert Young. I edit iTricks.com. And joining me on this edition of the podcast is a man who has a very colorful and significant history with this site. Many might remember that his first ever interview in his miraculous return to magic was done right here in this very program, but his latest and greatest opportunity to see him is going to be at the El Rey Theater this Saturday in Los Angeles, the 23rd. He is Rudy Kobe. Welcome back, my friend.
Thank you. Thank you. It's nice to be back, Justin.
It is great to have you, man. Now, you, how long has it been since that first interview when you first came back to magic?
That's a good question. I think probably it was
a little over a year, I guess.
Yeah. Maybe not last January, but the January before that, or maybe I think so. Something like that.
It's been a while though.
But that was the first one. It's been a while.
Because now you're back, and now it's now where everybody's gotten used to you being back, which is nice. You're back to being a fixture of the magic community.
Yeah, now they're getting sick of me again. So I've come full circle. It's pretty good.
Before we go any farther, I need to remind everybody that Halloween is fast approaching, okay? I can't put this in any more stark terms. If you need the one effect, it's going to creep everybody out. I'm going to make sure that you get booked not only at the next Halloween party, but every function after that, because they know they can rely on a creative entertainer who will make sure that nobody leaves disappointed. You got to go to trickshotmagic.com. And you better go quick, man, because I'll tell you what, if you want to get stuff like a seance by Scott Davis, a third hand gimmick, or what else we have, Control 2, Saw, Thread by Wayne Houchin, or any of the Andrew Main effects, In Half, Shrinker, or Gutbuster, you know, you just got to go to trickshotmagic.com. That's what you got to do. Make sure you talk to Sam Blankenship. The live chat feature will make sure that you end up with something that you really want and need. It's TrickShopMagic.com, folks. Bringing the real brick-and-mortar magic shop experience to the internet one click at a time.
Well, you know, I'll tell you what. You've teased a full-scale war on Twitter. So I'll ask you about that a little later.
All right.
Right now, let's focus on...
All right.
You know, but what you've done over the last year, we've talked to you here and there, but the El Rey show. Now, explain to everybody listening why this particular show is so significant.
Well, it's actually significant because it's my first show in LA, and you know, a first full show in 15 years. I mean, the Magic Castle, Magic versus Science, was my return to the Magic Castle, and it was fantastic. But as you know, the theater at the Magic Castle and the Palace of Mystery is only 120 seats, and the stage is really, really challenging for me to do anything on it. It's a pleasure to perform there, and you can't beat the audience, but it's like cramming a giant show into a close-up room or something.
Oh, absolutely. Very, very, very tight.
Yeah, so I mean, it's just weird to be doing Puppet Boy. I produced the 8-foot-tall puppet, and his head is hitting the ceiling. He has to crouch, you know, but that's true. And first of all, it's my first LA show in that long, and it's in a real venue where I could do my full show. And it's also open to the public, which the Magic Castle wasn't, because it's private and for members only.
There's something that I really, really have to ask you. I don't think we've gone into on the podcast. I don't know if I've even asked you just person to person. But in your time that you spent in magic, out of magic, and now back inside the industry, you have gathered maybe the most diverse cadre of people, like, to get the word out and that are talking about you. I mean, like, your friends are super diverse, but also it's like, you know, you're on Boing Boing twice a month. You know, like there's just the imprint of Rudy Kobe from between the Marilyn Manson fans and the stock and trade magic people to the maker crowd. Apparently, everybody wants a piece of Rudy Kobe. I mean, how is this footprint so big?
You know, I'm a fan of, you know, I think it's my enthusiasm is genuine, you know, and let's just take magic versus science. Basically, we had 2 weeks to promote that. And iTrix did a great job because you guys were so involved and Andrew starring in the show. And but I think I do believe that genuine enthusiasm is contagious. You know, I didn't know anybody from Boing Boing or the LA Times or Richard Metzger or any of these other people that that picked up the stories. And, you know, they found out about it through word of mouth, you know, and sometimes it's worth, you know, always try, you know, always, I mean, you may not get a story in the LA Times, but it can't hurt to ask the guy at the LA Times if you run into him, hey, I'm doing a cool show. And if you're enthusiastic, I think, you know, Magic versus Science was just an explosion though, because I think there were so many great people involved from, you know, Brian Brushwood on his own is a propaganda master. I mean, so I think everybody was genuinely excited to be working with the other people, and they knew it was going to be something special, which it was. And as far as myself, it's I'm enthusiastic about my show. My friend Scott Neary, who's a juggler, he made fun of me in Vegas because he makes fun of me. He says that I propagandize my propaganda. I think he goes, he says, you promote your promoting. And and I guess that's kind of true, but it's almost like you want to get the word out. And, you know, and I think if you propagandize something and then the show sucks, you have big problems, you know? And,
You know, I think there's something to be said for the fact that you are in a very, very, very unique position, because there's not a lot of guys who from the magic industry who have been on television that didn't catch a gigantic backlash at some point.
Right.
You know, like Blaine caught a gigantic backlash. Copperfield got a gigantic backlash. You know, Chris Angel is in the middle of catching a sustained backlash. But you had the two specials, and then I think partly because you were just kind of not there, people look at you as you almost have the best of both worlds. As odd, you know, there's a silver lining in everything that you went through. You came out on the other side with it being kind of a good thing. Like, I don't know if there's a lot of people who don't like Rudy Gobi.
Well, that's very, I'm sure there are.
Maybe we can get to it. Cause again, yeah, I want to tease this Twitter war.
Oh yeah. No, you know what? The thing is, I think, you know, I have made decisions in my life, which have affected my life. I mean, that sounds stupid, but I chose not to, you know, sign a 20-year contract in Vegas. I chose not to do a show unless I really felt it was something special, you know? I mean, and so that's is the joy. You know what I mean? If my shows are good, that's what I'm doing it for, you know, to be creative and to I never did the world's greatest magic specials because I just felt that was kind of cheesy. You know, I never was on those. So I wasn't sort of I think all of magic sort of took a backlash. But it is kind of fun to come back and, you know, and people brought me back. You know, they basically, YouTube is what brought me back. I mean, you know, people would have my TV special and they started fan groups and YouTube groups. And that really was the thing. People started writing me. And so I have a really dedicated fan base, but now people are discovering it and they think I did shot this stuff, you know, this year, you know, just, it's kind of odd to, I'm actually kind of proud that the material, I believe, stands up. You know, it sounds like I'm bragging.
Yeah.
I always designed it to be timeless. You know, I never wore trendy clothes and so it's like Pee Wee Herman. You know, you can watch those shows from 20 years ago and they look exactly as timeless, you know, today. So,
because they were of a certain period then.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, and back then, instead of, you know, when I was doing the shows, I didn't, you know, whatever, I didn't, look like Kurt Cobain, you know, that's probably what I would
have,
or, you know, the styles of the time. I chose the 1950s and 1980s. I really like too, just because it's a cheesy version of the 1950s, or I like the 80s. So, that's still kind of the, So anyway, long story short, it's fun to come back because I have just so much material that people haven't seen that is all ready to go. And then a whole different layer of material that I've been working on for 10 years that that, you know, I've been holding back until it was the right time, and now it's the right time.
Let me ask you about you know, new material.
Sure.
You know, where is that on a, you know, for when you are out there with an act as successful as yours, and specifically one that is certainly not oversaturated to
right.
You know, a large majority of people, especially people who will be going to see your show this Saturday, the 23rd at the El Rey Theater. You know, is there an urgency to work more new stuff in there? Are you working on new stuff?
Yeah. No, I'm premiering new stuff in the show at the El Rey. That's one of the things I
fantastic. You know, piece.
Yeah, I'm doing some stuff that nobody has ever seen. And you know, and it's funny that you say that because, of course, when I did the Magic Castle earlier this year, I was going to, you know, I wanted to do all the new stuff, you know, because it's my friends like Chris Kenner and, you know, you want to impress them with the new. But then I started really going back and looking when I was getting ready. And I was like, you know, if I was going to see Pee Wee Herman, I want to see him do the stuff that he became famous for. You know, I don't want to see Pee Wee's next act or the, you know, I mean, so I think it's a balance of the two. And I think that if I had been doing TV specials and been in people's faces and at all the magic conventions or then there would be much more of a need for new material. But you know, it's you know, like the El Rey, I have to bring the classic stuff, and it sets up the world, you know. And what's
I think, and that's the thing is you know, they're maybe the Magic Castle, you know, is a qualified audience for people who are, you know, they know about everything. I mean,
right.
There's that audience knows about, you know, the 13-year-old who's posting his new change
right.
on YouTube. You know, they
right.
know his materials.
Right.
They certainly know yours.
Right.
And there's more of a, oh, well, you know, he's doing that. Which, and they, again, you know, I don't want to make it seem like there was, you know, anything wrong with it, because I don't think that there was. And again, you know, this was a kind of command performance for you coming back to the Magic Castle. So you want to see that stuff.
Yeah. And the thing was, I actually tried to, I tried to recreate what probably the last show I did at the Magic Castle, you know, I mean, I wanted this, it was getting the Blues Brothers back together, you know? And so, you know, I think that's what that was about. I was gone for 15 years and it was like, I'm back and I'm having fun doing what you guys all, you know, like seeing me do. And it's interesting because the new material in the show, I'll tell you a secret.
Yeah.
Up until I guess yesterday, I was doing, I've been in Japan, I've been flying around the world doing music festivals, and I was in Fright Dome with Dan Sperry. I was performing in Las Vegas at this kind of scare, you know, haunted casino attraction. But I was, you know, driving back daily to LA to promote at different events, the El Rey.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was crazy. And then driving back and doing three shows in Vegas, driving back for the morning, promoting, driving back. It was crazy. And you know, I want to do the new material, but it's funny. It's got to be put in the right place. I mean, my show is really, you can hate it or love it, but it's well thought out. You know what I mean? It has a beginning, middle, and end. I introduce my character, then the other characters get introduced, and there's conflict and you know, it builds, and it's like a well-oiled machine. So when you have something new that's maybe with different characters that nobody saw, it you can't open with that. You could
no.
sort of open for yourself. You can't close with it either. Even if it's really strong, it's just a weird thing. I mean, I mean, if I do Puppet Boy and then I do something, you know, Puppet Boy is my ending for a reason. You know, it's the strongest piece of magic I do. And to put something new in after that, you know, so anyway, and then there's other, you know, you could put it, and I think, you know, and not to disparage people, but if I was doing a normal magic show, it wouldn't make a difference. You put it anywhere and you don't care. You know what I mean? So anyway, the secret is I have been agonizing for months. Where do I put this? Up until yesterday morning, I think I'm just going to not do this because I don't want to, you know, the show works. I don't want to just put it in because it's new. If it doesn't blend, you know. So, and then yesterday I came up with exactly where it goes. So now I'm where there was, you know, a little bit of trepidation and worry with a big show like this, because it's an army. You know, you saw Magic versus Science. My show.
Oh, yeah. No, you rolled deep.
Yeah, and this is a one-nighter, so it's even crazier. You know, I can't rely on the El Rey. I mean, I have to bring, you know, every curtain, every light, every is being rehearsed in my living room right now, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, for, you know, 5 and 6 hours this week, every night. So so it's an army. So anyway, it's like, but I came up with the answer. So now that's the weight off my back. And it was amazing because I come to find that was maybe the only thing, just placement, not even the trick going wrong.
And let me just say this, as a man who had a behind the scenes view of the Magic for Science production, there is a foolhardy position to take between Rudy Kobe and a perfect theatrical performance. And I was witness to one such fool who tried to get between, I believe, you and your pyrotechnics, or at least what was cleared. And it is a frightening place to be. I did not envy him, and nor did I think it was a wise position for him to take.
Yeah, you know, I prefer to look at the, you know, that was Rudy 1.0, but you know,
I don't think that you were out of line.
No, I don't think so either. And I know I wasn't. So, but that's like one of those things. It's like, you know, I don't want to comment on that because you know, I love the Magic Castle and I don't let
them, oh yeah, no, no, no. I don't mean to say
no, no, that. No, I know what you're, yeah. But you're right. Yeah. I mean, you do not stand in the way of me doing a good show just for petty reasons. You know, it's like,
yeah,
we're a good show. And if the politics and all that stuff doesn't agree with me, you know? So, I'm a jungle cat. You know, I said it many times you know, Marilyn Manson, who my buddy, and I, you know, design his shows and live with him, and people for some reason think that they can F with him. You know what I mean? Like people that work for him, or people they think they can mess around. They think they can steal, or they think they could just F with him. And it's like, I tell people all the time, he is just not, he's not somebody I would want mad at me. You know?
No.
It would be bad. And every time I've ever told that to anybody, they're like, dude, we're afraid of you.
You know? Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm passionate and, just want to do it. And I think, you know, well said. I don't want to comment more because of,
I wouldn't ask you to.
Yeah.
I will ask you to comment on this Twitter war.
All right.
What's the deal with the Twitter war?
Well, let's just say, because I cannot reveal who the person is right now, because maybe he'll wake up and go, this was a bad idea. you know, I'm trying to be, you know, it's like, you know, I'm trying to be Samuel L. Jackson. I'm trying to be
the shepherd, Ringo.
I'm trying to be the shepherd, Ringo. And but I'm going to have to rain down furious anger soon. But yeah, let's just say a very famous person is doing one of the routines for my TV special blatantly. He's even having it made by a guy who 4 or 5 years ago was making the prop, advertising it. And I had to call him up and he quickly took the ads down and just, you know, like you said, don't get in the way. I mean, I wasn't even in Magic then. And it was like, someone tipped me off. That actually was one of the reasons I came back to Magic. He got me so mad. I just felt, you know, just because I'm not here doesn't mean you're allowed to steal my kids, you know?
Exactly.
And so anyway, I just got news that it's happening, and with a very, very big performer, and the person who's making it is the exact person that I had to teach a lesson to, that I had to, you know, so I don't understand it.
So, have you reached out to this performer?
Well, he's been reached out to, it's happening. I don't know whether to be ballistic or to, I think I'm probably, if I have to continue with this foolishness, I'm going to do it in the Rudy Kobe way. You know, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it Magic versus Science, and I'm going to have fun with it. Cause that's all you can do. You know what I mean? So I'm not going to have, you know, blood coming out of my anus over a trick anymore. You know what I mean? But at the same time,
a curious way to deal with it at any point, but yeah, sure.
I'm just saying is I'm not going to have a heart attack over it, but
no.
But what I will do is make it public and really have fun with it. So I put out the feelers and the warnings. If the person, and you know, it's really funny. If this person, not the one who's building it, he's a dead man, no matter what. He's not going to come out of this in a good way. But yeah, the guy having it built, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt that he's never seen magic on TV before. Never, you know, it's
sure.
And the fact that this guy who had the problem with me is making it for him and didn't tell the guy that he had a problem with me is, to me, that's a bad person working for you, because that person's getting you in crap by not.
Yeah. Working. Yeah. And you don't know by them that reaches that final end line in this game of telephone, yeah, you know, who yeah was told what, you know, so he could be told, I have full permission to build right this. It's sufficiently
exactly
different.
Exactly. No. And that's always that. And his, you know, it's anytime anybody wants to steal anything, you know, we could do an hour on this, Justin. Anybody,
yes,
if they want to steal something, whatever it is, like I see a guy, he's doing my four-leg routine, but the exact music, sunglasses, hair, everything, and I get a hold of him. And what he's going to say inevitably is, well, that's an old vaudeville gag. And I was, yeah, and I'll be like, really? Because they had sunglasses back in vaudeville. I mean, you know, it's like, or in the case of this guy, you'll say, you know, you shouldn't be, this is my thing, and you can't do this. And he'll say, well, it's based on a 1912 blah, blah, blah book. And it's like, does that prop have wheels on it? And yeah, then they don't know how to answer. You know what I mean? And it's like, so you point out, but it doesn't matter because they're stupid. You know what I mean? You can't argue an idiot. So anyway, but here's what I'm hoping. I'm hoping that the message gets through, and what the message is, you know what, dude? If you call me, I'll probably just let you do it. But if you don't call, just ask, then there's going to be trouble. And the other guy, there's no apologies, no nothing. You're just an idiot, you know?
Yeah. Salt the earth.
Yeah.
So there we go. I think what we can get out there safely and sufficiently is that Rudy Kobe is a very amiable man, and somebody just reach out, have a conversation, have a sit down.
Exactly right. And it's funny, and I wouldn't, like, whatever, 15 years ago, that probably wouldn't have worked with me. Now, I wouldn't have been an idiot, but I would never consider letting anybody do any version of anything, you know, because they're your children, you know, and you're,
yeah.
But anyway, I'll give you a perfect example. David Williamson called me last week, and or 2 weeks ago, and I haven't talked to David. He's a dear friend, but I haven't talked to him for 10 years. But he called me up and he said, you know that thing you used to do where you made the helium in a balloon change places with you, and you levitate, blah, blah. We had done it on British television. And I said, yeah. He goes, you know, I would really like to do that. I'm doing a TV show or something, and I would really like to do that. And I do my own, how much would it cost? Or that? I'm like, no, it's yours, of course. You know, you're my friend, and no problem. And another example, Dan Sperry was on America's Got Talent, and he wanted to do Nikki Terminator. He had, you know, in the past, I had mentioned that I may make a couple of them just to sort of combat the piracy. So Dan had approached me about that. But Dan was going to go on. Dan's a great guy. And he said, so, you know, what deal can we make? How much would it be? And I was like, no, if you want, you can use mine. And I actually took mine and I like totally, you know, took it apart and put it back together so it would look different for him. And I was on the set with my assistant in the table. It's like, I like helping creative people. It's fun. It's fun being creative with other people, you know? So I'll tell you what the bad thing is, when you take something and then the person calls you on it, and then you totally blatantly lie to them, because then you're insulting the person's intelligence. So I think that's why
magic is on so many levels just kind of an antisocial art. You know, I think, you know, right down to the fact that, you know, so much of the rehearsal goes on in solitude, and the people that are attracted to it aren't necessarily the lives of the party naturally.
Right.
So, you know, I think what happens is a lot of guys who don't necessarily have bad intentions,
right,
you know, get into something, and maybe they get a little too close to it, and maybe at the point that, you know, they've put in so much time and so much effort and so much money, they're like, well, you know, it's too far. And then all of a sudden they get themselves dug so far into these beachheads.
It's true.
That, you know, when somebody comes to them, they have no other way to react than hostily. And I would put on top of that, retardedly.
There's a guy in Brazil. I'm having my assistant write his name down right now. But anyway, he does my act with the music, with the costume, with the Nikki Terminator. I mean, the four legs, the chainsaw, the Nikki Terminator, all exact.
Yeah.
And he's in Brazil. And where it hurts me is like I get to travel all over the world. Every single city in the world, major country city, they always have like a Johnny Carson or Jay Leno or a variety show. So that's how I make my money. I go for a couple of days, I go to Brazil, and I'm really well known in Brazil from doing things. My TV specials have been down there. But anyway, so there's this guy, and his name is Wander Rebello. So I'm not saying anything about him. I'm not going to, we can actually say his name, and maybe we should put a link up so everybody can see it. But he does, you wouldn't believe it, but he looks like Morris Day doing my act. So that's the only difference. It looks like he's gonna go into a Morris Day tune, which is awesome.
Exactly.
Rome's gonna come
like,
out
like Jungle Love, right?
Yeah, but same music, everything. But you know what's funny is I have a feeling that he thinks he is honoring me. You know what I mean? Like he's the biggest Streisand fan in the world, except it's Rudy Kobe. You know what I mean? But he is an impersonator. It's like having an Elvis impersonator. And so I've contacted him a little bit. I mean, I think I have to have, somebody down there talk to him in person or whatever. But I think sometimes they don't even realize that they're wrong, And so you have that, but then you have the people I get angry about are the people that should know better, Like this guy just may be dumb, because a lot of people are dumb. But then when it's like a well-known performer, it's just, it's so ridiculous. I just don't see the logic of it, And especially if you have a lot of money and you can actually pay the person to make you the prop, And the other thing is, every time someone steals Nikki Terminator, they make it bad. That's what hurts. You see it. It's always, not to be mean, but like fat girl legs and a really fat table. You know what I mean? And I won't say anymore. I don't want to single people out. But
sure.
But it doesn't look like a robot. You know what I mean? Let's just put it that way.
Let's just leave it there.
Yeah, let's just leave it there. I mean?
It's like all right.
It's like Snooki in a table. It's kind of
there. Awful. We go, Snooki Terminator.
Snooki Terminator.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's focus on the good stuff, and that is this Saturday, October 23rd. Historic El Rey Theater. Gosh darn! I really, really wish I could be out there to see it because I just know this is going to be. Such a huge event, and I know that the people putting it on are first class, and they've only done, really, really big events, and I hope that this is the first of many times that not only you play the El Rey Theater in your second run in Magic, but also many other cities that everybody listening to this podcast can go see. But Rudy, where can people get tickets to this fine show?
If they go to Ticketmaster, they can buy tickets. Just go to Ticketmaster, look up Rudy Kobe Show. And here's the thing, just because I'm doing crazy surprises in this show. So there are going to be special guests, and there are it's going to be an event. It's not going to just be my show. It's going to be a special event, and with crazy prizes and it's just going to be fun. It's going to be, it's going to be? It's going to be magic versus science, a little piece of that energy pad, which is, it's like, I just got 700 photos from Curious Josh of that night.
Really? And, oh, really?
Yeah, 700, he gave me all his roles. And you just look at that and you could feel the energy from that place. And it's just so much fun to see, Chris Ketter, Andrew Main, performing for Marilyn Manson, who's, meeting, and with Justin Robert Young there the whole time. Just meeting. And we had a blast, and I think
that was like summer camp. It was really this great kind of explosion. And I tried to kind of qualify how much we talked about it because obviously it's one of those you kind of got to be there moments. But it was kind of I forgot who said it, but it was like Magic Woodstock. It was just
absolutely.
It was this weird kind of event. But and hopefully Magic for Science too.
Yeah, absolutely. Point, I'm right? Well, you know what? They want it, and it's just, and it, the whole thing is, if we can make it better, then we do it. You know. Yes. Oh, and I should probably promote also the next week is the Magic Castle Halloween week. It's
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And it's called Mr. Dead's Underground. And it's sort of a magic versus science kind of thing, but it's Halloween themed, you know. So it's not it's more traditional Halloween. But the shows are going to be great. Lots of surprises. And the cool thing is, you want to know how cool Matt Patton, the special events director, is.
He's the best.
And yeah. I'm producing the, so I'm co-producing the Halloween week because of Magic versus Science. I mean, they gave me Halloween week, which is normally their busiest week until Magic versus Science. So they're really trusting me with, and there's really good special guests, just to say it, and different people all the time. But what I wanted to say is, the Magic Castle is so supportive of me because my show is on Saturday and that starts on Monday. There was a potential that people would misunderstand and think I was going to perform at the castle, which I'm not. I'm just producing. I'll be there as a host, but it would eat away ticket sales because of that, you know, because people go, well, I'll just see him at the castle because my name's on the poster.
Sure.
But we're clearing it up now. But this is how cool the Magic Castle is. Anybody who goes to see the El Rey show, anybody who has a ticket stub from the El Rey show can go to the Magic Castle on the Halloween week, like at member prices. That means if they go to my show at the El Rey for $20, they get in free at the Magic Castle Monday through Thursday and then pay whatever a normal member, and they don't have to eat dinner or any of that stuff. It's like, it's amazing, you know? And so that's totally cool. And it's, like I said, it's the hottest place to be on my favorite holiday of the year. So.
Yeah. I'll tell you, I can't, you know, if there's one place that I wish I was and not here in South Florida, it would be in LA for those two events alone.
Yep. And I just want to say one more thing before we go. It's like, you were the first interview I did. And it was funny because people mention it all the time because it's what, it wasn't really an interview. It was really, I forgot we were being, it was just a really open conversation. You know what I mean? So people still talk about it. And I just want to let you know, and the other thing is I'm a huge fan of iTricks, huge fan of yours, huge fan of Andrew Maynes, and a huge, huge, huge Dan Sperry fan. So I just want to let you know that Joe Monty also. So I just want to say good job, guys. I mean, I check in every day. It's my homepage and see, I'm promoting the promotion.
Exactly. You propagandize the propaganda. I mean, I'll tell you, the site would be nothing unless we had relationships like we do with people like Rudy Kobe. And it's a pleasure, you know, for me, for a guy who had no interest in magic and kind of found myself in this industry. I could not be more happy to have gained so many good friends and Rudy, you would certainly be one of them. So
yeah, thank you so much, sir.
There we go. One more time. Right. This Saturday, El Rey Theater, go check it out. Otherwise, Rudy Kobe, thank you for joining us for the Magic Week Review.
Thank you.
All right, folks, if you would like to email us at show@itricks.com, follow us on Twitter @itricks. Until next time, I am Justin Robert Young @JustinRYoung on Twitter. Bang a gong.
itricks.com.